The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
Everybody wants to be happy. Time magazine had a cover of the title, The Science of Happiness, and for 64 pages, 25 articles, you could read somewhat crazy advice on how to be happy. There are literally, recently, thousands of magazine covers claiming to have the secret of happiness. I read that one man said that he found happiness when he donated his watch, cell phone, and $500 to a stranger. Afterwards, he said, "You can't know the happiness I felt as I saw him put his knife back in his pocket." Oh. To be happy with a man, it is said, understand him a lot and love him a little. To be happy with a woman, love her a lot, and don't try to understand her at all. There we go. Man asked his girlfriend what she wanted for Christmas, and she says, "Nothing would make me happier than an engagement ring." So, since nothing would make her happier, he got her nothing. Oh. They say that happiness is the key to everything, so when I got locked out of my house, I smiled at the lock, and it didn't open anything. Charlie Brown. A cartoon many years ago, Lucy said to Linus, "I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone before. You see the hill over there? Someday I'm going to go over that hill and find the answer to my dreams. Someday I'm going to go over that hill and find happiness and fulfillment. I think for me, all the answers of life lie beyond those clouds and over the grassy slopes over that hill." Linus answered, "Perhaps there's another little kid on the other side of that hill who's looking this way, thinking that all the answers to life is on this side of that hill." And Lucy shouted, "Forget it, kid," which is true. Charles Schulz, he had many cartoons that says happiness is a warm puppy. And for pet owners in here, maybe your pets are happiness to you. The Bible tells us how to be happy. To find God's path, his recommendations, we need to do what he says. He didn't create us to be average. In fact, the Bible says, "Happy are the people with such blessings. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." And Jesus said that his purpose is to give us a rich, satisfying life, which means he doesn't want us to settle for just good enough. I'm going to give you three things today that will help us have a happier life and the life that God wants in 2024. We need to make sure that we're going in a God direction, which is a good direction. It's almost a brand new year. The optimist will stay up to see the new year in, and the pessimist will stay up to make sure the old year leaves. A New Year's Day prayer I found interesting. "Dear Lord, so far this year I've done well. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. I'm going to need a lot more help, Lord, because in a few minutes I'm going to get out of bed. January is coming quickly. Takes its name from the Roman god Janus, J-A-N-U-S, who's known as the deity of good or new beginnings. Janus is from the Latin meaning door, from which we get our word janitor, the opener or closer of doors. And Janus hypothetically closed the door on the old year and opened the door on the new year. The Romans believed that the beginning of the new year would be an omen for the rest of the year, that as you start, good or bad, it would carry its way through the entire new year. So behave yourselves, okay? The temple of Janus in Rome featured a two-faced statue. A young face of Janus looked east, and the old face of the same statue would face west. The old face would always look behind, focused on the past, and the younger, new face would look ahead to the future. And you know, people are a lot like that. They're always either looking backwards or forwards, depending on their personality. Paul, the apostle, was a forward thinker. Philippians 3:13, he says, "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race." to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He said to Christians in the church of Colossae, set your sights, put your face toward the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. And if we pledge ourselves to be fervent in prayer and faithful, we can face the future fearlessly. How's that for a lot of F's? Well, learning from the past and living in the past are two different things. Someone says there's no future in living in the past. That's true. Someone else said yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift of God, which is why we call it the present. We're products of our past. Rick Warren says we don't have to be prisoners of our past. But some people always seem to be looking back, focused on how they were hurt and painful memories. You can go to any restaurant, any store, and you can look at people's face, and you can see pain in some people's faces. They're looking down, defeated and miserable. Their life is filled with regrets, and they carry it into the present and into the future. And that can rob them of happiness. It's like Jesus telling about the tax collector who stood at a distance and wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat on his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And if that kind of past will bring us to Jesus, then it's okay. Sometimes sin brings us to Jesus, and Jesus says, look up, your salvation is near. When our lives are heading in a God-pleasing direction, we can look forward to what's coming ahead. Most of us came to church today in some sort of vehicle, and you may have noticed that the windshield is really big and the rearview mirror is very small. And that's because what's happened in the past isn't as important as what's coming in the future. And where we're going is more important than where we've been. There's nothing we can do about past disappointments, and we need to move on. Otherwise, we can let the past sabotage the present and the future. I read about a dog that had been kept on a 20-foot leash for years. And that was the limit of the dog's entire world. The owner would feed and play with his dog occasionally, but he was on that leash. He could see other dogs. He'd run to the end of the leash. He knew exactly how far he could go. He wanted to chase him. He wanted to go farther, but he knew his limits. If he went too far, the leash would jerk him back to his proper place. But one day, the owner decided to let him off the leash. He unfastened the leash from the dog's collar, and he wasn't chained down anymore. He wanted his pet to run happy and free. They waited until another dog came along, and the freed dog took off running. But when he got to where the leash would have ended, he stopped where he always stopped. A few minutes later, a cat came strutting by, and that cat had tormented that dog for years. But the cat knew exactly the parameters and would walk just a few feet out of reach. The dog took off running again, but stopped where he normally did. He was free, but didn't realize it. And if he would have gone one more step, he would have been free indeed. And again, that's what people do. God has removed the chains of our past, but so many of us act like we're still chained to what's happened. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. The slave isn't a permanent member of the family, but the son is part of the family forever. If the son sets you free, you're truly free. And because of Jesus, we should move forward. I read about a little boy and girl, brother and sister, visiting their grandparents' farm. And the boy was playing with a slingshot. He saw grandma's duck. He didn't think he was going to hit it, but he let the rock fly and hit the duck in the head and killed it. He hid the dead duck in the woodpile, and that's when he saw his sister watching. She didn't say anything. After dinner, grandma said, Sally, would you please wash the dishes? And Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to wash the dishes. And she whispered, remember the duck. He washed the dishes. Later, Grandpa said, I'm going to go fishing. Grandma says, I'm sorry, I need Sally to help me make supper. She says, I can go fishing. Johnny says he wanted to stay and help Grandma. And again, she whispered to her brother, remember the duck. And after several days of the boy doing his chores and her chores, he decided to confess that he'd killed Grandma's duck. And she says, I know. I was standing at the window. I saw the whole thing. I forgave you right away. I was just wondering how long you'd let Sally make a slave out of you. Satan does that as well. You remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from God. And God asked them a three-word question. Where are you? Didn't he know? Didn't God know where they were? He was asking if they knew where they were. And Adam answered, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid from you. And God knew that Satan had corrupted them. God knows that Satan has corrupted every single one of us. So we need to confess and turn to God in a God direction. Another thing we need to do is commit to growing in our relationship with God. No one here today is the same person they were 7 years ago, according to the New York Times. An article says your body is younger than you think. And this is what the New York Times said. Whatever your age, your body is much younger. In fact, even if you're middle-aged, most of you may be just 10 years old or less. And they explain approximately 7 years, we become a new person. Because in that time, most of all the cells in our body die and are replaced with new cells. Someone's called a process the 7-year switch. And so as long as we're alive, no matter how old we are, there's a constant replenishing and renewing. And that goes as well as spiritual renewal with God. We're constantly changing. But we can limit our growth with God if we wish, like the nation of Israel. It's no longer growing. In fact, over the years, it's shrunk, trying to give pieces of itself to buy peace with the Palestinians. And that has never worked. The country of Israel never was large. It was the size of New Jersey. And thousands of years ago, God gave the land of Canaan, not Palestine, Canaan to Israel, and he promised, I'll give you every place you set your foot. And Israel is small because the Israelites were satisfied with very little. So when they stopped pushing and stopped walking, God stopped blessing. And he says, okay, you quit, I quit. And we choose our bigness or smallness of our relationship with God. Our New Year's goal should be to love each other with genuine affection, to take delight in honoring each other. We should never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically in theos, in God. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, and we'll have a better new year. And how much of God do you want in your life? If I were to ask, and don't answer, how many of you are content with how much you have of God? I don't think anybody would say, I'm satisfied. I'm going to stop here. Well, we can do something to change if we want more God. We say we do. We can grow closer by Bible study, Bible classes that are taught on Sunday and midweek. There are so many growth opportunities if we will take that next step.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
The Bible says if you don't continue growing spiritually, you'll begin shrinking. And it's like our bodies. Some bodies get smaller. The older we get, well, spiritually, it's the same way. 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, talking to Christians, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. Ouch. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world. As though you were infants in the Christian life, I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You still aren't ready. For you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another. You quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? And aren't you living like people of this world? Jesus said, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. They'll have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. And it kind of goes with a cliche, use it or lose it. And that's our Christian walk. The more we ignore God, the harder it is for him to change our life. A university professor gave her students an opportunity to evaluate her course at the end of the semester, and one student wrote this, I like the course, but I feel strongly that the professor puts too much of the responsibility for learning on the students. Well, God puts responsibility of learning on us, his students. And our spiritual growth is somewhat of a struggle, but there are others in groups that join us in that struggle. And God will speak to us, and we don't always recognize his voice. Like Elijah, in a spiritual low point of his life and needing God's guidance, the Bible says, here's how God chose not to reveal himself to Elijah, 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. Then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. A voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And it's very much like the question to Adam and Eve, "Where are you? What are you doing?" And it's a spiritual type of evaluation. God whispers through his Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through godly counselors, and sometimes through a quiet voice we say is just our conscience. And we can answer and say, "I know I shouldn't do this, but God will forgive me." And our territory will shrink every time we give a part of our souls to the enemy. 1 John 2:3 says, "We know, we've come to know him if," that's a conditional, "we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if," conditional, "if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is not how we know we are in him." And it's amazing. We know the right thing to do, but don't do it. Sometimes I put together sermons and I think about certain people in the church, and I can see them nodding their head during that portion, saying, "Amen, yes." And then they leave and they are exactly the way they are when they come in, and they never change. Someday we'll look back and we'll understand all the ways and times that God has tried to reach out to us. We don't have to have special talents or skills to grow in God's kingdom. Sorry, allergies. I heard about a maid who lost her job because she was illiterate. People left her written instructions, but she couldn't read. Things weren't getting done, and finally she got fired. She was an enterprising woman. She went into business for herself. Soon she was very successful. In fact, so much so, she went to a bank to get a loan. And the loan officer in the process discovered that she was illiterate and said, "You've done all this and you're illiterate? Imagine where you would be if you could read and write." She said, "Yes, I'd still be a maid at the hotel." That's right. We don't have to be brainiacs in order to grow closer to God. We just have to have the drive. God's favor and blessings are directly related to how well we follow his instructions. Jesus said in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me," if then, that's conditional, "he will obey me. Then my Father will love them, and will come to them and live in them. Anyone who does not love me won't obey me." That's why God brings areas to light in our life where we need to improve. Sometimes he'll do it through sermons or Bible lessons, a spouse, professor, or random statements that doesn't affect anyone else. Sometimes people say, "You said something to your sermon that really touched my heart." And I'm thinking, "Really? That?" But it didn't touch the neighbors. It just touched you because it's the Holy Spirit saying, "This is for you." God doesn't want our life to be as hard as we've made it. Like Israel, who wandered in the desert between Egypt and the Promised Land for 40 years. That distance should have been covered in an 11-day stroll. But because of their lack of faith and disobedience, they kept going in circles around the same mountain. Deja vu all over again. They were busy, but they weren't making any progress. We can do the same. There aren't limits to our growth. Read that 100 feet long whales weighing 160,000 pounds can be only seen under a microscope when they begin. Or giant redwoods that reach 300 feet tall begin as a seed 1/16 of an inch long. It doesn't matter where we start. We can grow 100 times more. And that's what Jesus said. It can produce a crop 100 times as much as what's planted. And we can grow in Christ to that proportion. But we need to expect and look for God's best in our life. An 18-year-old college freshman knew what she wanted in a man. And she had high expectations. She wanted a knight in shining armor on a white horse. But by the beginning of her sophomore year, she realized the color of the horse wasn't important. So in her junior year, she thought, "Who needs armor? It just gets rusty." As a senior, she just decided to take the horse. That's lowered expectations, and sometimes hope dwindles over time, but happiness depends on what we're looking for. There are two birds common to the California desert, hummingbirds and vultures. Vultures find, they see, they seek rotting meat. That's what they're looking for. They thrive on that. The hummingbird ignores rotting flesh and looks for the tiny blossoms on cactus flowers, almost hidden unless you're really looking for it. And each bird will find exactly what they look for. We will find what we look for. It's guaranteed. Grumpy people aren't happy unless they're grumpy. There's a story in the Bible about a poor widow. Her husband had died. She didn't have enough money to pay the bills, and creditors were coming to take her two sons as payment. And the only thing that she had left was a little oil. Elisha, not Jah, but Elisha, the prophet, showed up and asked her to do something kind of unusual. He says, go to your neighbors, gather as many containers that will hold oil as you can, and come back. He had to get her faith going because she had sat around long enough preparing for defeat. And she gathered some empty containers. She brought them home. Elisha told her to pour the little oil that she had into the other containers, and the oil kept flowing. And God multiplied the oil until every container was completely full. And then guess what happened? The oil stopped flowing. Had she collected 1,000 more containers, they would have been filled. Had she collected 1,000,000 containers, they would have been filled. Who limited God? She did. She limited God. And with God's power working in us, God can do so much more than anything we can ask or imagine. We limit our limited God. Unlimited God, sorry. Blind men came to Jesus, and he asked them, do you believe I can do this? I can heal you. And they said, yes, Lord. And he replied something he would say to us. He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done for you. And that's how he gauges us. How much faith do we have that God is a God of his word? To have a great 2024, I would suggest that we fan into flame the gift of God which is in us. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I'd suggest that we never be lacking in zeal, but keeping our spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. I would suggest that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among ourselves, making music to the Lord in our heart, giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have a good year. There's, and I'll end with this illustration. There was a legend among the Jews during the 7 years it took to build Solomon's temple that early in the construction process, a pre-cut stone was brought from the quarry, but it didn't fit. And I don't know if you remember, but in building the temple, everything was cut off-site and then just assembled on the Temple Mount like a jigsaw puzzle. Well, this one didn't fit. It was not like the others, and the workers figured the cutters had made a mistake and rolled it over the cliff into the valley. And years passed, and the temple was being built, and the stone was forgotten. And when it was almost complete, there was a space yet to be filled. The workers sent word to the cutters and said, you made a mistake. You shorted a stone. And they said, no, that was the first one we sent. And then one of the assemblers remembered the stone that was different from the rest that had been thrown down into the valley. And they sawed it out. They cleaned it and brought it into the temple site. And they lifted the stone and they put it into the missing spot. And it happened to be the capstone, the stone that held up the arch to the entrance to the temple. And David explained in Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. And Acts chapter 4 develops it even more, saying, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from death, Jesus is the one of whom the scripture says the stone that you, the builders, despised turned out to be the most important of all. Salvation is to be found through him alone in all the world. There is no one else whom God has given who can save us. And if we want to have a good 2024, we need to put Jesus where he belongs. We need to stop limiting God. We need to pursue to the best of our heart's ability, and we will find as much of God as we wish. And if we haven't found it, push harder.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.